Hello and welcome to another edition of the Tree City Sports Podcast. We are mobile today, so I am joined by my co-host as usual, Graham Moen, but not in person, over the phone, wherever you are. Hello, Graham.
Oh, you know, it's going pretty good. It's the beginning of another glorious NBA season, and we have a lot of we have some Cavs stuff we got to talk about because even though they might not win a title for us, they are the champion in our hearts.
They are definitely not winning a title. So I'm actually relatively excited for this Cavs season. I mean, I'm always excited for basketball back because I love basketball, but also I think this Cavs team is starting to get to the point where they're interesting. I don't think they're at the point where they're going to win a lot of games yet, but I think they're going to be, you know, there's at least enough young talent now to where the guys that are playing, a lot of them, you could see them being legitimate NBA rotation players. Where last year, at some points, you were kind of looking at the team and you're thinking that some of the guys on the team are playing, you're just kind of like, what are we doing here? You know what I mean? And you're going to get some more of that this year, but I think more.
I was about to say, we're still having
the Cavs. Well, and the Cavs had 3 first-round draft picks. And if you have 3 first-round draft picks, you should have guys that you think could be legit NBA players. So our premise for this podcast, we are not doing our full NBA season preview. We like to do kind of an all-around-the-NBA type preview. We will be doing that later this week. But for this podcast, it's going to be Cavs pretty much only. And our goal for this podcast is to answer 3 basic questions. Number one, how good will the Cavs be? Number two, how fun will the Cavs be? And number three, what are your goals for this Cavs season? So let's start this discussion with how good will the Cavs be? And we can begin by saying this is what Las Vegas thinks. So odds are for the NBA over-unders, which for those who don't know, an over-under is basically what you're betting on, how many wins a team would have. So the Cavs over under is 24.5, which is not great.
Under.
Yeah. It's the second worst over under in the NBA behind only the Charlotte Hornets, who have Graham and I were talking briefly about them before the podcast. And I said, who's their best player? And Graham's response was just literally, well, they don't really have a best player. So that's the only player that's the only team that's worse than the Cavs right now by Vegas.
Also
standards.
Under.
Yeah, the Cavs are within striking distance of the Wizards, the Knicks, the Grizzlies, and the Suns in over-unders. All those teams are also under 30 as a projection. But, so Vegas doesn't think the Cavs will be very good. So I already heard your opinion, Graham. You think under 24 wins, and tell me why you think that.
I just think it's going to be another instance of a young team in the NBA really just trying to get their feet wet. And also, a lot of their most talented players, with the exception of Kevin Love, have not played in the NBA for a long period of time or really at all, if you're talking about Darius Garland. So you're going to see some incremental improvement from some of the other guys that are going to be maybe core parts of the team this year, like Jetty Osman, and maybe seeing some nice potential with Dylan Windler and Kevin Porter Jr. But for the most part, other than Kevin Love, there's not really a proven good NBA player on this team. The rest of the team is just kind of either average or slightly below there. And when you have a lot of rookies, the variance is going to go up and down. So I think we're going to see a lot of streaks where the Cavs are blowing games or maybe not getting blown out, but just having stretches where they just can't stop anybody and they're going to have trouble being able to score with some of the best teams in the league. So I would say their ceiling is probably just over the 24.5 at 25, but I would gather they would probably be closer to the low 20s.
Yeah, I would tend to agree with you on that one. Last year, the Cavs were almost historically bad on defense, which is
almost.
Yeah. I don't really see the not only do the Cavs have a best player in Kevin Love who is hurt pretty frequently, they also have
oh yeah
a lot of young players like you mentioned, And they have a first ever NBA head coach in John Beilein, who's not only a first ever NBA head coach, this is his first time ever being an NBA coach in general. John Beilein's a guy who I have a lot of respect for the way he has carried himself and the way he has moved up from high school to college to bigger colleges to eventually being the Michigan head coach over the last decade-ish. And I think he's a man of high character, and I think he's a man who loves to teach the game of basketball. And I think that fit-wise for a team this young, I think he's probably a pretty good fit for this team. But
yeah,
also,
I would agree.
I mean, he is completely unproven as an NBA head coach, and I really have no idea what to expect. I expect that, you know, there's going to be a pretty massive learning curve for him. I think that drawing up plays and things like that, he'll be fine. But, you know, in college, you get to practice a lot. And he has kind of a passing-centric offense he likes to run in college. And they're not going to – I mean, the Cavs, you know, the training camp is basketball. In basketball is pretty short. And I think if Beilein really wants to install his system, it's going to take quite a long time to get to that point. And I don't know how well his system will even adapt to the NBA. So I think he's a high-character guy. And I think he's – if he's going to have an NBA job, it's the one where you have no pressure to win and you can just teach young players. So I think, you know, that if there was a spot for him, this would be it. But he's also totally unproven as an NBA head coach. And I don't see him being good enough, especially in his first year, to really, you know, kind of bring the team above their talent level. You know, what's your opinion about John Beilein right now, Graham?
I mean, I just think he's going to be a coach that's going to have, like you said, a very big learning curve when it comes to how to deal with the daily tasks that are involved with being an NBA head coach outside of just getting the players ready. It's also a big mental game for him because as opposed to playing 30, maybe 35 games a year now, he's going to be playing 82 games. And that grind is really going to take a big toll on those players, especially the young ones, as the season goes along. So it's really going to be a testament to Beilein if he's going to be able to actually get in there and keep them going during the season when they have those long stretches and maybe they're not having much success and they're not winning a lot of games. He's going to have to keep them together and continue to build up some of the fundamentals and also teach this team, because that's really why he was brought here, is he was here to teach these young players and to get them to get to higher levels and use them in better ways than they were last year under a, no offense, Larry Drew, but under an interim staff that didn't really have a direction for this team. So now another year added, another guard added to the mix, and he's going to have to see how this point guard lineup is going to work out.
Yeah, not exactly traditional point guards, I'll say that. But, yeah, no. I mean, the thing is, it's, you know, like I said, Beilein's a first-time NBA coach. And I think Larry Drew did a pretty good job last year in terms of just teaching young players. And I think it's funny to me that Larry Drew was pretty much like, yeah, I don't want to be considered for the job full time because that just seems like a lot of work.
But we'll offer it to you. Yeah. But I really don't want it. Yeah, it's just like it's not a job that you want on a regular basis. So yeah. I don't know why. But at the same time, it's a good way for John Beilein to prove himself and to show all of his work at Michigan has been something that has built up to this point.
Yeah, sure. And like I said, I think he's a high character man, and he's a man that likes to teach the game of basketball. And I don't, you know, I think to some degree, people will be teaching him throughout his first season because, you know, Kevin Love's been in the NBA for over 10 years, and, you know, John Beilein's come in the first time. And I think for players like Kevin Love and Tristan Thompson, and I think that may be kind of awkward at first, just in terms of how to go about, you know, maybe not correcting him, but kind of teaching him how things work in the NBA and kind of showing, you know, the ability to be coached, despite the fact that maybe some of the things he's trying to coach are more fundamental or elemental. And, you know, we're just going to have to see how it goes. You know, I really have no expectations for him aside from the fact that I think like we said, I think the Cavs are going to lose a lot of games, and I think he's a teacher of the game. And he does have a lot of NBA experienced NBA assistants, and I think that will be very helpful. He also has the first ever NCAA women's coach to be an assistant in the NBA, which is pretty cool.
True.
So I think, you know, the Cavs have a very interesting coaching staff this season, and I think they have a coaching staff that has the potential to be pretty good in the future. I don't think any of us think that John Beilein is going to be the coach the next time the Cavs contend for a title, because he's an older guy, and because, again, he's not really the type of guy who I would expect to be a coach that competes on the highest level, considering he's been a college coach for the majority of his career, and he's kind of that teacher type of role. But, you know, John Beilein has, everywhere he's gone, his players have played above their talent level, and his teams have played above their talent level. So there's always a chance that translates in the NBA. And if it does, maybe he is leading the Cavs to the playoffs in 2 or 3 years, or, you know, as early as, I was going to say next year, but I'm lying to myself.
That's not happening.
Maybe in 2 or 3 years, John Beilein is leading the Cavs to the playoffs. And I think ideally he would lead the Cavs to the playoffs for 1 or 2 years. And then he kind of step aside, and the next Cavs coach that's, you know, I don't want to say a more legitimate coach, but maybe a coach that's more, you know, built to have a sustainable NBA run here can kind of take over. And I think that's kind of the vision. And, you know, I think you can question to some degree whether it's smart to have a vision in which your current head coach that you just hired is not going to be your coach in 4 or 5 years. But Beilein did get a 5-year deal from Dan Gilbert. And I think Dan Gilbert, I mean, I think that Beilein is probably mostly a Dan Gilbert hire, if we're being honest, especially considering he's a Michigan man and Dan Gilbert has spent most of his life in Michigan. And, you know, I don't know if the Cavs, I'm sure the Cavs front office wasn't, you know, vehemently against this, especially considering, again, there's no expectations on the Cavs this season, but yeah, I definitely think it was a Gilbert hire. Neither of us thinks the Cavs are going to be that good.
Probably not, no.
I think they'll finish with somewhere between I think the Hornets are the worst team in the NBA. I don't think it's particularly close. I think the Cavs will finish somewhere between second, third, fourth best record. I mean, the Knicks are bad.
You mean best record for terms of getting a pick?
Yes, yes. Best record for accomplishing what the Cavs want to accomplish this season, which is to get another high draft pick. That's right.
Absolutely.
So that answers our first question. How good will the Cavs be? Well, not very. But there's, I think, more hope for our second question, which is how fun will the Cavs be? And I think that you may be more of a pessimist in this kind of category than I am. Maybe just because I'm a bigger basketball fan, or I don't mind watching young players as much. But in your opinion, how fun do you think the Cavs will be? That's kind of a vague question, but take it for what you want.
I mean, I think it's important to pay attention to these young players that are coming into the Cavs, because for the first time in a long time, pretty much since LeBron came in the first time, the Cavs haven't really had a huge youth movement when it comes to players, and then maybe a little bit with Kyrie and Tristan Thompson, but those two guys came and left as they went, along with Deion Waiters, and that team eventually got traded and became the second team that LeBron had. But when it comes to this team, I mean, it's going to be exciting to see, you know, how Darius Garland and Colin Sexton play, maybe not necessarily together, but seeing, you know, which one ends up being the player that the Cavs kind of tie their wagon to for the foreseeable future. I know they've said they want to use both of them, but I feel like you're going to have to find out which one of these guys seems like has more of a alpha dog mentality in him. And I think that's something that's going to be very interesting to see how it plays out throughout the year, provided Garland stays healthy, because he did miss all of his last year, all of his only year at college at Vanderbilt because of an injury. And he has rebounded so far this year and has played well in the preseason, but we have to see that throughout an entire year and see how he can manage it. See if we have to load manage him a lot in the first year, that might be, it might be difficult to really get a good idea of what he's going to be. And I feel like that's what will make the Cavs most exciting, is seeing how those two guards play with a player like Kevin Love.
Yeah, I agree 100% about Garland. You know, I mean, he's played four college games. So imagining him playing 82 NBA games seems like a very tall task. But he also did have a major knee injury. He hasn't necessarily had a ton of small injuries. So I'm hoping that, you know, it was kind of a freak injury and he's not an injury-prone player, because I think for the most part in high school he didn't have a lot of injuries. And as his body matures, I mean, he's still, you know, very, very young. So I think there's a chance that as he improves his body, he doesn't become injury-prone. But I think that's – I think Darius Garland can play. I mean, he can shoot. He is an advanced-level NBA shooter already. In terms of creating off the dribble – for his own shot, I would say he's already above average at that skill in the NBA. And I think he's got more playmaking than some people would believe. I still think he's a score first player for sure, but I think he's a better, I think he's going to be a lot better than Colin Sexton was last year, at least at first. I mean, Sexton really, really struggled. Like the first half of last year, Colin Sexton was like just almost unwatchable. He was so bad because he had no ability to run the offense or pass the ball. He was just hoisting mid-range jumpers. He couldn't make a layup.
There's also no Kevin Love there at all to help.
Right. In the second half of the year when Kevin Love played more, and also when Sexton had been around in the NBA longer, to give him credit, Sexton showed a lot of improvement last year, and I think that was really important because early in the year, he was looking like a complete disaster. But he was also handed a rather large role for the 8th overall pick, considering there was not much other talent in the roster. But I agree with you 100% about Garland. I think if he's healthy for the majority of the season, this year will be like vastly more fun. I think that his health will be the number one thing that determines how fun this year is. What do you think about in terms of the rest of the roster around him? What kind of things are you looking for, at least in terms of entertainment value?
I mean, it'll be interesting to see if Larry Nance really can play small forward, which I don't think he can. But there's been news that he's trying to see if he can play small forward this year for the team.
He kind of shot some threes last year.
Yeah, so he's like, you know, if I can kind of shoot some threes, maybe I can shoot as a small forward and guard small forwards. Which we love you, Larry, but you can't, and you need to stay where you are as an undersized big coming off the bench.
Yeah, and he, you know, he does have some playmaking, and B-line has kind of a pass-centric offense, so you know, you never know.
Yeah, he's loves backup.
But I think small ball four is maybe more accurate than small forward. But hey, if he believes, then why not, right? If there's ever a time to test these things out, it's with the Cavs this season.
Well, I don't think he's going to get small forward playing time over Jetty.
Yeah,
who Jetty Osman really needs to show if he's going to be someone that could be a capable back of the end starter for a team that's trying to compete, or if he's just going to be a player that maybe settles in as a backup wing and a three-point scorer and a shooter, as opposed to what we might thought he could have been, which was someone that could be a starting caliber player for this team going forward, which we still don't know after last year.
Yeah, I think anytime Kevin Love is on the court, your team is more fun just because he's such a talented player. And I'm hoping after like years and years of them, you know, it's like every year you hear, oh, they're going to use Kevin Love at the elbows more, and he's going to be – they're going to run the offense through him, and he's going to pass the ball more. And we just haven't seen it because for the first – most of his time in Cleveland, it's because LeBron was here and Kyrie was here, and it was just kind of like, well, I'll go stand in the corner, Kevin. But, you know
– yeah. Yeah.
Scoring type of thing from Kevin Love, because I think he still has that ability. I don't think he is a true workhorse number one option at this point in his career, but I think for a young team, he can definitely be a fulcrum of the offense. And I think that could be fun if they kind of figure out how to unlock that a little bit more. I think that, you know, some of the young guys aside from Garland and Sexton, I think Jordan Clarkson is somewhat fun. He's not necessarily a young guy anymore, but he's still pretty young.
Yeah.
They're talking about playing him at small forward, which I don't think he can guard small forwards necessarily, but I do think that we've all figured out that Jordan Clarkson's not really a point guard, but I think coming off bench with Dellavedova is a pretty good fit for him, because you kind of have the pass first defender and then you kind of have the athletic scorer. And I think playing him at small forward will kind of unlock more shooting around the floor, because last year, let's be honest, the Cavs played a lot of like two big lineups where neither guy could shoot when Kevin Love was out, and the spacing was just terrible. And I think, I think kind of moving a little bit smaller in general will definitely help with that. I think that Kevin Porter Jr. is going to surprise some people. I don't think he'll be really, I don't think he'll be good or necessarily efficient, but I think Kevin Porter Jr. is going to have some 20 plus point games this season because he can really score from what I've seen so far. And you always have to kind of take the preseason, you know, at arm's length because they're not really playing against NBA players that are motivated at that time. But I think he can really score. Dylan Windler can really shoot. And I think, you know, besides just Garland and Sexton, I do think there are, you know, some young guys who are entertaining to watch in this roster. In terms of young big men, there's literally nothing. It's horrible. I mean, Larry Nance is – Tristan Thompson's not bad. You know, seeing Tristan Thompson get tons of offensive rebounds is, will never get old for me. But, yeah, I agree. I think the Cavs will be more fun than last year. I think they're going to be more fun than the Knicks will be this year. I think they're going to be a hell of a lot more fun than Charlotte will be. And I think that Darius Garland is going to show some high-end potential. And, you know, I think we should also count on some growth from Colin Sexton because he did grow a lot last year. And, I don't think Colin Sexton was necessarily great to watch even when he was having some success last year. His playing style wasn't super entertaining. But I think the better he gets, you know, it's funny to watch. It's fun to watch young players because you'll be watching them in December looking lost, and then you'll be watching them in February, and they'll make that pass to the corner like a split second earlier one time. You're like, oh, he did it. He did it. And it's just, you know, you have to care about basketball quite a bit to care about these kind of minute details of young players. But for me, that's. You know, I think they'll be entertaining enough that watching their games won't be dreary and that watching their games will be mostly a fun experience. And that's,
I mean, we can only hope so because last year was pretty,
last year was not great. I mean, I watched a lot of games last year and again, seeing Sexton go from like the trashiest player I've ever seen to a guy that can kind of score was nice, but for the most part, it was rough. So, we will take a short break real quick, and we will come back and answer our final question. And we are back. So, our final question that revolves around the 2019-2020 Cleveland Cavaliers is, what are your goals for the season? So, we've kind of already discussed, obviously, you want to see improvement in your young players, and you want to kind of find out if, you know, certain young guys are viable NBA players or not, worth keeping around for the future. Beyond kind of those obvious things, what kind of specific goals in mind do you have for the team in general or for individual players in general?
I mean, I just want to see this offense look more efficient than when it was last year, when it was just a lot of standing around and doing nothing for a lot of offensive possessions and kind of just depending on either Kevin Love or Colin Sexton to bail the team out. They didn't really have a lot of ball movement. So I just want to see some type of system set put in place because I know Beeline's been – that's been something that's been big about him. But I just want to see some type of culture instilled in this team and really see – how they grow throughout the year from the beginning of the system to near the end of the year when they're starting to perfect some of the things that the coach and staff and them have been working on throughout the year. And then on top of that, I mean, just get individuals to get a couple individual performances that you're going to love. And at the same time, try to make sure that you're still evaluating your team to see what's going to best help serve you in the future. Cause you have a lot of contracts coming up soon. And you want to see which maybe players that are running out of contract can be contributors or if they need to move on to make room for another set of young wave of players, which is going to be coming soon. So I really think it just comes down to how much is this young core going to show so that way we see what type of the process that the Cavs are going to go to next. Is it going to be something like the Hawks where maybe they target a specific player in the draft and they start to build themselves up from the established young talent they have, or is it going to be like a Orlando team where they just get a bunch of keep drafting a bunch of players that don't fit together and kind of see how it plays out. I hope that there's a plan in place.
How much money do you think Brandon Knight has made in his NBA career?
Probably like over $100 million.
It's $81 million for Brandon Knight. That's amazing. Good for him. Anyways,
yeah,
you're right about the contracts. I think in terms of individual players, there's a couple things I'm looking for. I want to see Colin Sexton improve his passing a little bit. He improved his shooting and his shot selection significantly last year. I think that was a great first step for a guy who looked lost. I want to see him be able to kind of make the simple passes because last year he wasn't even really making those. So I'd like to see kind of an incremental improvement, especially in terms of passing or in terms of defense. Last year, he was just getting pushed around constantly. And one of the things that people loved about him coming into the draft is that he was kind of a tenacious defender. And last year, he just got bulldozed around. So I'm hoping he's kind of added a lot of muscle in the offseason. So in terms of defense or passing, I'm hoping one of those takes a big step forward or both of them take kind of a decent little step forward for Sexton. Jetty Osman, I would love to see some type of ability to score off the dribble. I think last year he shot the ball from three pretty well, and I think he had some real nice moments last year, but I would love to see more consistency from him in terms of scoring off the dribble. He has a decent little pull-up jumper. He can shoot three a little bit. I think also he could stand to improve from the line quite a bit. He was not a very good free throw shooter last year. So if he's able to become kind of an attacker and maybe improve the line a little bit, he could show himself as, like you said, maybe that fifth starter or legitimate first guy off the bench for a solid NBA team. I think otherwise he's going to kind of stick in his role as a decent defender and kind of perimeter guy, good guy you want to have on your roster, but maybe not a guy you want playing significant minutes. There's a lot of young guys. I want to see what Porter Jr. and Wendler have. But beyond that, in terms of the team itself, you were right about the contracts. Last year, the Cavs were kind of in hell looking at their contract situation where there's just a lot of bad ones. And they also traded for some of those bad ones to get draft capital, which is always a good move for a team in this position. But we've got Kevin Love, who has his extension that starts this season. I love Kevin Love. I think he's going to have his jersey retired by the Cavs, and rightfully so.
He's probably not worth being paid what he's being paid.
No, I don't think so. And I think, I don't think Kevin Love is going to be, a great player by the time the Cavs make the playoffs next. So I would love for the Cavs to be able to kind of keep his value up and trade him at some point. Ooh, excuse me. But he does have, we said, 4 more years, including this year. Tristan Thompson's an expiring. Brandon Knight is an expiring. Jordan Clarkson's an expiring. John Henson's an expiring. Matthew Dellavedova is an expiring. That is
Chris Paul to the Cavs for a first-round pick?
Yeah, seriously. So the Cavs have a huge amount of expiring contracts. Thompson's 18.5. Brandon Knight is 15.6. Those two guys alone almost gets you to max level. Add in Jordan Clarkson, 13.5, John Henson, 9.7, Dellavedova, 9.6. That is, excuse me again.
It is a lot of resources to work with, that's for sure.
Yes, and what you can do with those is you can trade for a good young player or a good, middle of his career player that maybe some other team doesn't necessarily want to pay for the future. You can also trade for another long or maybe contract that expires next year that some team is trying to dump to save salary cap room for someone else or trying to kind of trim their luxury tax bill. The Cavs have a lot of ability to do a lot of things with all those contracts. My guess is that probably maybe one of those guys is on the team next year. If I had to guess, I would say Dellavedova would come back because it seems like he's kind of in a perfect place for him at this point in his career. I think Tristan Thompson is probably playing his last year for the Cavs. Brandon Knight is definitely not going to be back. I think Jordan Clarkson, maybe I can see the Cavs keeping him as a bench scorer, but I think more likely than not he walks. John Henson is, just a contract at this point, basically. So
sure.
I would love to see the Cavs make more shrewd moves. in terms of taking on money or taking on a player, you know, to kind of add value for the future while using those expiring contracts. And beyond that, you know, if the Cavs trade a lot of those guys during the season, expiring contracts, that will just produce, you know.
Yeah. No, that's true. I mean, it's going to create more space for the Cavs to maybe make more impactful moves.
Yeah, I think after this year, you're going to finally start to see the Cavs kind of transition to a little bit more of an upward trajectory. I think the Cavs will have their top five pick. You know, I know the NBA lottery is kind of a little more stretched out now, so the Cavs could fall to like 6 or 7 or something. But the Cavs are going to have one more high pick. And I think a lot of these, you know, like we said, those expiring contracts are going to be guys that aren't on the roster next year. So I think you're really, over the next year or so, going to start to see maybe what the rotation could look like going forward, maybe start to see, you know, how the roster fits together a little bit better. But I think last year, and even I think this year, it's still going to be more of, here's a bunch of young guys, let's throw them all out there and see what happens. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's more of a plan this year than there was last year, and that's at least a step in the right direction, because last year there was not really much of an – at the beginning of the year, we thought we were competing for the playoffs, and within 10 games, we're like, yeah, never mind, we're not. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens going forward with the Cavs, because they'll at least have a lot more headlines in the positive direction, I think, this year than they did as last year.
Yeah, you know, one of my other goals for the season is – this is kind of a random one I just thought of on the spot. I want to see Kevin Love be an all-star just because I think he deserves it. Mm-hmm. I think he's still a really good player. And I think if he puts up like, you know, 18-9 or something, I think that would be really fun to see the, you know, Kevin Love be an all-star again. Cause I think that Kevin Love has committed to the Cavs for the rest of his prime. And he's probably already past his prime at this point just because of injuries. And I think it would be really fun to see the Cavs have an all-star. I think it would be really fun to see Kevin Love be an all-star, not to mention the fact that it would help keep his trade value up. I'm kind of looking at the Cavs rotation, and the starting lineup is going to be Garland, Sexton, Osman, Love, Thompson. And that has the potential to be like one of the all-time worst starting lineups in terms of defense, just like the Cavs were last year. And that's just going to be a trade defensively. I think kind of figuring out who plays off the bench is going to be interesting, because I can name 9 guys right now who I think are guys that you could legitimately say deserve minutes off the bench. That's Dellavedova, Knight, Clarkson, Porter Jr., Windler, Alphonso McKinney, who the Cavs just claimed off of waivers today, Larry Nance, Zizic, and Henson. I think Deli's going to play because he's a teacher and because he's a calming influence on the floor. I think Clarkson's going to play because he's one of those expiring contracts the Cavs could legitimately flip for value. I think Clarkson could help a team, so I think the Cavs could get value for him as a player, not just his contract. I think Porter Jr. and Windler will obviously play since they're first-round picks. Alphonso McKinney's interesting. I think it was a smart claim by the Cavs just because they paid nothing to get him, and he's been kind of a NBA rotation player before. He doesn't really do a lot in terms of, you know, signature skills or anything, but you know, I think he could be a decent rotation piece going forward, maybe. Nance is going to play, of course. Ante Zizic, to me, I think he played hard last year, and he was kind of tough down low, but he doesn't really block shots. He can't really run the floor. His passing has been kind of a positive, but he hasn't really been able to get to that point in the NBA. He can't shoot that well. I think besides being big, I just don't see a lot of NBA skills there. But, yeah, you know, it'll be interesting to see who ends up getting minutes over the course of the year. But do you have any other final thoughts about the Cavs season before it starts?
I mean, I think we've talked a lot about it. I think really the biggest thing we're going to have to see is just how this young team works together and how they are able to start off the season. Because if they start off a little bit strong, maybe they get some momentum going in throughout the first part of the year, and that might be able to help buoy them a little bit to maybe have them give them a surprise finish, something that, you know, maybe a better record than Cavs fans are expecting, and give us a little bit more hope going into the next offseason when maybe legitimately the Cavs could start making more moves to get their way back towards the playoffs, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, like you said, I think next year's the year they can start kind of starting to push the chips a little bit. They're really still looking at, you know, kind of the long-term picture this year. I think best case scenario, Kevin Love's an all-star. Darius Garland wins Rookie of the Year, which I don't think is an outlandish thought. Colin Sexton and Jetty Osman improve a lot. Windler and Porter Jr. look like legit NBA players. And the Cavs can trade some of those expiring contracts for something of value. And then they, you know, maybe win the lottery or move up to second or third next year. And I think if all those things happen, that's the absolute best case scenario. And the Cavs would win, I don't know, 28 games, maybe. Like, yeah, absolute best case. And let me tell you, if all that happens and the Cavs move up in the lottery, next year is going to be really fun. I'll say that. It'll be the first year of, wow, this team looks like it could really start to be something. I think worst case scenario, Kevin Love gets hurt. The Cavs can't move much of those contracts for much. I think Garland, you know, maybe is a complete sieve on defense, or he even gets hurt too. I think Sexton isn't able to really improve as a passer or defender, and he's kind of just a shoot first, you know, volume scorer. I think worst case, you know, the Cavs finish in the upper teens and wins and maybe end up like the seventh pick just because they kind of get bad luck in the lottery. And that would kind of bum me out. But overall, you know, it's a pretty clear picture here. The Cavs are a young team. They've got these veteran pieces that are starting to, you know, kind of move on during the year or after the year. And the future is really going to start kind of taking shape going forward. But personally, I'm excited for the season. I think when you go into a season with little to no expectations for how many, you know, wins a team is going to have, it makes it a lot easier to kind of just watch young players develop. You know what I mean?
Yeah, no, I definitely can agree with you on that sentiment. It's going to be something interesting to see these young players grow.
Yep, the Cavs play Wednesday night. We are recording this podcast late Monday, so you'll probably hear it Tuesday or Wednesday or whenever you pick your phone up to listen. The Cavs play Wednesday against the Magic. They are 7.5-point underdogs to start the season, which is a trend that will be pretty common throughout the season. But alas, the Cavs will be entertaining to watch, is my hope. We will have, like I said, our kind of big NBA preview podcast coming up this week. The Browns play next Sunday, 6 days from today, and we will have another podcast after that. Hopefully they can pull off the miraculous and beat the Patriots, but if not, we will seriously begin to kind of reassess our goals for the Browns season. Hopefully the audio was okay for this podcast. We have not done a mobile podcast in quite a while, but schedule-wise, it's just been really rough the past few days. So we would rather just get this one in on mobile than not do it at all. So hopefully the audio was pretty good with only a couple exceptions. Check out Red and Blue podcast as always.
Yep.
What was your most recent topic, Scram, on Red and Blue?
We just talked about the Manchester teams and then also talked about some of the Champions League action that was going on heading after the going into the international break, which had just recently ended this past weekend.
There you go. Check me out on Twitter at @abaker_sports. Check Graham out on Twitter. Say it with me, folks. GTMOHAN. And we will have more podcasts for you very soon. Please check out Tree City Records as well. I think I'm done plugging things now, and we will talk to you guys very soon.
Thank you so much, everybody. Have a great evening.
Peace.